Okay, let me just do this. How many of you don't give a rip? Okay. One, two, three. Okay. Well, I appreciate your honesty. Okay. If you lived in Iowa, you would be the most miserable individual because they have been working you over for your vote for months now. Tomorrow is the Iowa caucuses. It's the beginning of the process by which we will elect our next president. And with that being tomorrow and with Soul Cafe being next week, I wanted to take a chance and talk just a minute. Now, this is not a political sermon. Let me also just say this. This will not cost you extra. This last week, some of my peers took it upon themselves to endorse a political candidate. Or they say they did, but when you fly three states away to stand on a platform to say, I can endorse someone, but you are. Let me just say this. I, as your pastor, do not feel it is my responsibility to use God's teaching platform to endorse a political candidate. I am politically motivated, I am politically conscientious, but I am not responsible to tell you who you should vote for. I'm responsible to teach you what the Bible says and let the Bible tell you who you should vote for. So if you're looking for me to come out and make a political statement, it's not happening. I have people, I'm very conscientious, I'm very meticulous, and if you want to talk to me about it, I'm more than happy to talk to you about it. But your pastor will not use this God's platform to endorse any man or any woman, not because I don't believe in them, not because I'm afraid of controversy, because I'm not. It's because God's purposes is greater than political purpose. And when we, the church, take God's platform and subject it to the political process, then we are giving away our first, and quite honestly, our only call. That's leading people to faith in Jesus Christ. So that doesn't cost you anything extra. That's free. I've been thinking about that. So we're going to talk. Who are you going to vote for? I don't know if you've decided. I'm really looking forward that this thing will kind of get started so all the wannabes will start kind of falling off and we'll get down to some serious consideration. But I want to talk to us today about what's the role of a Christian when it comes to the political process. It is an important process. It's a process we should be involved in. But what is our priority as Christians in this process? So we're going to look together. Christians are supposed to be involved. You should be engaged, especially when God's values are at stake. Now, one of the things you need to be thinking about in this election cycle is the next president very easily could appoint one and maybe two of the next Supreme Court justices. They are lifetime appointments. And if you don't agree with what the Supreme Court has done lately, put two more justices on there and it can go, it's going to go hard one way or it's going to go hard another way. But we as Christians should be involved. It's our nation, it's our right, it's our privilege, and it is our responsibility. Ultimately, politics offers very little change. The truth is, it doesn't matter whether you're a donkey, an elephant, or something else, politics is not the answer to the world's problems. Amen? Amen. It's not really the answer to our problems here in America, here in Texas, and here in Greenville. Politics is not the answer, but it is a part of the process, and we have a responsibility to engage, to influence, and to lead the process as God leads us. But we must maintain a proper order. And this is the challenge that I believe many of us face, is we become so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good. So let's go ahead and look. What's the Bible tell us? Well, the Bible tells us that we as Christians should be peaceful, law-abiding citizens. Amen? Amen. We should obey the laws. We should be peaceful. Scripture tells us this. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. We should be the epitome of good citizens as Christians. Now, I know some of you are beginning to roll around in your head, well, yeah, but what if? I don't have time to discuss all the what ifs. I'm trying to hit this golf ball right down the center of the fairway, okay? We are to pray and honor those who govern over us. Well, Jimmy, I don't even like them. That is not an excuse not to pray for them. Let me tell you how you can learn to like someone. Well, let me back up. Can I tell you how you can learn to love someone? You may not like them. You know, that's a difference, right? Love sacrifices like chosenly spends time with, right? Do you have friends that you love? You'd go serve them, but you wouldn't go on vacation with them? There you go. But the Bible says that we're to pray for those in authority over us. I'm unashamedly, our president and I do not see eye to eye, but I pray for him. I pray that he might know Christ. I pray that he might submit to the guidance of God in and through his life. I pray for the safety of his family. I pray for his leadership in our nation. I pray that he has a very wonderful retirement. The Bible says we're to pray for them. My friends, you cannot love with a clenched fist. Scripture tells us this. First of all, then, I urge you that supplication, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all good people. No, I'm sorry, for all... Oh, the dyslexia is good this morning. For all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that they may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of our Savior. We need to pray for the men and women who are in positions of authority over us. We need to pay our taxes. Oh, now, Jimmy, you're praying. Listen, don't pay any more than you're supposed to. Scripture tells us this. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but not one dime more. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
You people, listen, don't worry about IRS isn't monitoring us. They're not going to be on you. It's okay. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but not one dime more. Someone asked me, Jimmy, should I use deductions? Listen, whatever they give you, use to the fullest extent. You know why? Because it's given to you. It's yours. Don't give one dime more than you should, but give what is expected. Work for the highest good of all people. We as Christians, as we're involved in the political process, should always work for the good of all people, whether we agree with them or not, whether we even like them or not. I have friends that we, you know, when it comes to politics, we couldn't be any more far apart, but we find common ground, and I want good for them, because as go them, as goes me. It says this, so then we have an opportunity to let us do good to everyone, and especially those of the household of faith. Listen, if all we're ever good to is our people, our family and faith, how will we ever influence our community? The Scripture says it's easy to love the lovable. You want to love somebody, love someone who doesn't love you back. Then you're loving somebody, right? So let's go ahead. Christian voters recognize that God ordains leadership. My friends, let me ask you this question. Is God omniscient? That's a big word that means that God knows everything. Is he?
Yes
he is. Bible says so. Is God omnipresent? Is God in all places, all times, at the same time?
Yes
he is. That means in eternity past, he was present. In eternity present, he's present. In eternity future, he's present. That means past, present, and future, all the same time. Yes. So my friends, you don't know who the next president of the United States will be, but God does. You didn't know who the president was, who was going to be our president, but God does. We need to understand this, believers, that God is sovereign. The White House does not take God by surprise. Now, we may not agree with it, we may not understand it, but please do not be deceived that God is taken surprised by it. So the Scripture tells us this in Romans, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Jimmy, I don't understand. Why would God appoint so-and-so to such a position? I'm not God. I don't know. Sometimes people get the leader they deserve. Sometimes they get the leader they want. And sometimes they get the leader that God puts into a position. I can't think of a word. To discipline. But be not mistaken, my friends. God is not fooled by our current administration, whatever your opinion is about them, and he will not be fooled by the next administration. God is in control. God is sovereign, and we can rest in that. You may not like it. You may not agree with it, but you can rest in it, all right? Let's go ahead. As Christians, we live in a theocracy. What does that mean? If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, your allegiance goes to God first. Now, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, independent, Tea Partier, or just a hootenanny, whatever. My friends, you hear me. As a born-again believer, your first responsibility in all things is to God. Not a government, not an individual, not a political party. The challenge that we face as Christians is sometimes we get so politically minded, we're no heavenly good. Understand that. We must vote and live and serve and guide by what God says, not what I prefer, not what I think is best, not what I agree with the most. God first, everything else second. And then here in America, we live in a democracy. Well, it's really not a democracy. It's really more of a representative republic. That's a government lesson, or is it not civics? Just leave me hanging. Okay, yeah, all right. If I'd asked what's for lunch, I'd have gotten 20 answers. As Christians, we need to be a vital part of changing what America means. Now, can I just say this? And you may not like me for this, and it's okay. Being an American doesn't mean you're a Christian. And my friends, being a good American doesn't mean you have to be a Christian. There are good Americans who are not of the Christian faith. Now, we're not talking about eternity. We're talking about America. And we as Christians need to be very, very careful the way we conduct ourselves among our fellow Americans. Being born American or coming into American as an immigrant or being the process of becoming an American citizen does not by default make you a child of the King. It does not make you a Christian. But you can be a good American, a loving American, a sacrificial American, and not be a Christian. We must be very careful because many under the tent of faith have put these two things together and they have nothing to do with each other. Was America founded on Judeo-biblical principles? Yes, it did. Would it be better if we were following? Yes, it would. But a person's personal faith is not a necessity for them to be a good American. And we need to remember that. America gives us the right to believe what we want to believe. And the very right that we Americans sometimes want to take from others is the very right they would love to take from us. You may not want to follow Islam. You may not even like Islam. But they have the right to worship in peace and in safety in America, just like we do. We must be very careful that we do not allow our politicians to bring us in to fear-mongering and hate-mongering under this. As Americans, we have no power to change the basics of Christianity. We can change our nation, but we are not privileged enough to change the basics of Christianity. Being an American does not make you a Christian any more than being a Christian automatically makes you a good American. I know a lot of people, and I've seen them, who walk under the umbrella of faith, and they're terrible Americans. What does America owe us? America owes us basic liberties of safety, basic liberties of opportunity, basic liberties of freedom. That's what America owes me. That's what I want out of America. And that's what I want other people to have. My liberties end where my liabilities begin. I don't agree with everything. I saw a guy yesterday, I was in Dallas, and Mike, I thought of you, guy. I thought of you because you're a big motorcycle guy. And he was riding this little bitty Vespa. And let me just, because I am one, let me just say this. He was a big guy on a little bike. You know what I'm saying? I can say that because I'd be one. Big man on a little bike in Dallas. And you know what? He's a neat. I mean, he was wearing that Vespa out. The gas mileage was like none. I am one. And you know what? He wasn't wearing a helmet. Now, you know what? As an American, he has the right not to wear a helmet. And as an American, I have the right to go, "You, sir, are foolish." Because, easy there, easy. But, and I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, "Sir, you have no chance If you were involved in an accident in Dallas, where accidents hunt you out, you have zero chance. The state of your body, your physical body, your muscle structure is not going to hold things together. It is going to be bad. And you're not even going to protect that little melon of yours. But in America, we have the right to make bad choices. It's okay. It's okay. Oh, just thinking that guy makes my heart palpitate. Christian voters get involved. Should we involve? Yes, we should. Joseph got involved, and you know what? He became the political controller of all of Egypt. He saved his family. Moses got involved, and he delivered the nation of Israel out from the bondage of Egypt. Deborah got involved. Gideon got involved. Samuel got involved. David got involved with defeating Goliath. Nehemiah got involved as he rebuilt the city walls. Daniel got involved, a man who served the king, yet followed his Lord. You do not have to sacrifice your faith to be a servant, to be a leader in political matters. And when the day comes that it's faith or politics, my friends, walk away from the politics. As we go ahead, Christians are to vote. Okay, if you already don't like me about the earlier statement, you may not like me about this one. I do not want to hear you tell me that you are not going to vote. Don't tell me that. And let me tell you why. Because men and women for decades have given their lives to protect your right to vote. Men and women around this world would give their lives for their children to have the right to vote. It's given to us by our founding fathers. It's given to us by the men and women who protect us every day. I'm just telling you. Now, you have the right to do what you want to do. But if you're not going to vote, don't you tell me you're not going to vote. I don't want to hear it. In the case that we ordain our leaders by our vote, we as the church, when we go into that ballot box and we vote for someone, we are saying that under the guidance of Scripture, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and under the guidance of our biblical principles, we believe this individual, this man, this woman, is the best offered. Now you say, well, Jimmy, I just don't see anything I like. Okay, well, let me let you roll this around. If you do not vote, it's the same thing as voting for the person that you want the least. A non-vote is not a vote. A non-vote is for the person you want the least. Now, you see, God holds us accountable for our vote. Sometimes we get the leaders that we deserve. You know why? Because our vote didn't follow the book. And you see, God has used His church. We, as the church, have the power to influence our nation. But when we step in the ballot box, the question is does the lever follow the book? Now, only you know. Isn't it awesome? How many of you guys do digital voting? I'm the computer geek. I love the little di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di. You never have to stand in line for that. I love that. So anyway, that's free. It didn't cost me anything. I was over on Channel 3. And if we choose not to vote, see, I'm so good. I'm so ahead. And listen. I know in the political process, at times, we find ourselves thinking it's the lesser of three evils. I get it. Jesus isn't running for president. It'd be easy, wouldn't it? Can you imagine? This is over on Channel 1. I'm not sure if Jesus would win. I mean, truthfully, that's my opinion. But But what I know is this, is for evil to triumph, all it takes is for good to do nothing. And when we do not get involved and we do not go and cast that vote, listen, if you can't vote for someone that's in there, write someone in. Who knows, maybe I could be the next president. Watch it, Ronnie. I might be. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Greenville would be my summer home. It'd be awesome. Can you imagine the absolute mayhem when I'd go to Starbucks and the whole place gets shut down? Why can't I get Starbucks? Well, President Vaughn's coming in. Awesome. It'd be a different presidency, I promise you. And this is my promise to you. If I'm elected president, each of you will be invited to Washington and you'll get one night in the White House. You can pick your room. Be awesome. And we'll figure out something to add. We got bowling. Anyway, all right, I'm you know, my bride would make a great first lady, I'm telling you. She would. Christian voters should understand the true freedom. John 8 tells us this. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Ladies and gentlemen, born-again believers, Christ followers, true freedom is not a political position. It's a spiritual position. And we need to never, never lose sight of what true freedom is. Freedom comes through knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and following Him. And the greatest thing we can do for our nation and the greatest thing we can do for our world is to live our faith sincerely and genuinely and accurately and give men and women, boys and girls, and people of all ages the opportunity to see Jesus the way we see Him. Because as their hearts are transformed, then our nation would be transformed. It would be the best. The root of our nation's problem is always a spiritual nature. Last Thursday night, I participated in a point in time count. Long story short, it's a census of homeless here in Greenville. And as my team and I are out walking in the dark, trying to hand out these small bags of sustenance and trying to glean some information, out of the dark steps a man. It was 43 degrees, and he's barefooted. He's so high, he doesn't know where he is, but he's not high enough that he can't communicate. He has no toenails because he's been injecting drugs between his toes. And we talked. I gave him the care kit. I gave him a little bit of dinner. And that's all I could do. I had to walk away. See, politics isn't the answer. I don't know how that man found himself in those woods in that condition, but what I do know is if we could draw a line back, it's the sin nature. Somewhere, somehow, there was that first step that took him down a path. Sin will take you further, it'll keep you longer, and it'll cost you more than you ever intended to pay. Amen. The answer to our nation is not a political one, it's a spiritual one. And we must always be mindful of that. We must not sell our opportunity of the gospel on the altar of politics. My friends, I am deeply involved, concerned, and educated on the political process, but I will never sacrifice my opportunity to share Jesus over a political debate. People can even embrace the Christianized politics, as I stated earlier. There would be those that would tell you that if you're a Democrat, you're not a Christian. And there would be those that would tell you if you're a Republican, you surely can't be a Christian. There will be those that would embrace the Christianized policies of politics, and they'll still be lost in their sins. We can never fall into the trap of substituting political involvement for the gospel. Politics will never be an instrument to salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to sit down, strap in. It's going to be a long, bumpy ride. But you know what? That bumpy ride will not involve bullets. That bumpy ride will involve one day, sooner than later, you getting to walk into a safe, private place and cast your vote for that man or that woman that you believe is the best of what is offered. We need to do our very best to elect the very best. We need to do our very best to be involved. I've often asked myself, how should I be involved? Should I be more involved? Should I run for political office? You may ask yourself that. If you've ever wanted to serve in a position of authority, I call on you. Think twice about it and then go do it. How do you ever change the process if the believers don't ever engage the process? Or, can I give you this? Pray for each and every man and woman who's running for political office who are believers. Pray that God would guard their hearts and minds. Because I believe many step into the process with wonderful intentions, but they succumb to the process. Pray for them that their biblical convictions can withstand the political pressures. Because I got to tell you, it's hard. It's hard, but it can be done. I absolutely believe it can be done. And then lastly, Christian voters keep real goals in focus. We talked about this early. Our focus is not to elect a president. Our focus is not. Our focus, Matthew tells us, is to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, I'm more focused on eternity than the temporary. I'm passionately concerned about the temporary. But this world is not our home. We are eternal beings. We all will live eternally somewhere. We get to be Americans for a little while, but we get to be eternal citizens forever. And that is the priority. So this week's steps is this. Never forget that we as Christians, never forget that we are Christians first and Americans second. Therefore, our ultimate goal is to bring people to the saving knowledge of Christ first and foremost. Please be careful. Please be careful in your conversations at work. Please be careful in your conversations with your family members. Please, please be careful about what you post on Facebook. Do not burn a bridge of spiritual opportunity for the sake of political opportunity. Always, always, always think it with eternity in mind, shall we? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, and we thank you for the political process that's beginning. And Father, we pray for wisdom.